Chapter 4. The Escape Key. 3 Practices That Help Prevent Cyberbullying. If you're horrible to me, I'm going to write a song about it, and you won't like it. That's how I operate. Taylor Swift. Mallory Grossman was a cheerleader and talented gymnast living in Rockaway, New Jersey, with her mom, dad, and 3 siblings. Most people described her as happy and lively, until she took her own life. It began back in 6th grade, when Mallory's life took an unexpected turn. A group of girls at school singled her out and began teasing her. Her parents don't have any idea what provoked the initial teasing, but it began in the classroom with other students kicking her chair and whispering cruel names like fat and ugly so the teacher couldn't hear. What might have been labeled teasing grew to shunning. Her fellow students shooed her away if she tried to sit at their lunch table, telling her she didn't have any friends and calling her a loser. The bullying quickly went digital. Cyberbullying is a unique kind of cruelty because it infiltrates environments that used to feel safe. Home used to be a sanctuary, but now bullying reaches wherever kids bring their phones, which is everywhere. Mallory received cruel texts and posts on Instagram and Snapchat. Girls even posted pictures of Mallory on the playground with mean captions. On one occasion, Mallory asked a girl to take a picture down. The girl responded, "Never," with a smiley face. These girls were a unique kind of mean. Mallory's parents heard from other parents who described the girls who bullied Mallory as mean, malicious, and nasty. Mallory's mom says she sent out countless messages to school officials and they would simply reply, "We'll look into it." But nothing changed. That's when her parents began noticing symptoms. Mallory's grades began to slip. She would claim she had stomach aches and headaches and needed to stay home from school. "She was just sad," her mother explained. Mallory's mom spoke to one of the mean girl's mothers. The mother dismissed the accusation that her daughter was bullying, claiming it was all a big joke and she shouldn't worry about it. Mallory's mom asked that she please tell her daughter to stop texting Mallory. Mallory received text from the girl 3 minutes later. The parents finally met with the principal and asked the administration to intervene, but felt like the school did not take the claim seriously, even after months of relentless cyberbullying. At one meeting, her mother said the administration advised Mallory to just hug it out with the bullies, and she was actually called out for being a tattletale. Mallory didn't think telling the school would help. In fact, she told her parents, "You just made it worse. You don't know these girls." Words I've heard far too many times from harassed kids. Mallory was right. After the meeting, the girls followed her into the bathroom and told her, "If you do that again, we're going to get you." One kid told Mallory she should just kill herself. So that's what she did. She was just 12 years old. 12! How many times do we have to hear the same story? Did no one see the signs? It's interesting hearing today's young people talk about social media. Most of them seem to have a love-hate relationship with it. In my interviews with kids, I heard phrases like, "I can't go 20 minutes without it, but then it makes me feel bad about myself when I look at it. Sometimes I know if I post a certain picture, I'm going to get made fun of, but I post it anyway. My mom told me to ignore the comments people make, but I can't. They always hurt." Digital communication has opened up entire new avenues for hurt. How can we possibly help our kids avoid some of this hurt? Delay social media and mobile devices. The most effective solution is one more obvious and overlooked than the emperor's new clothes. Delay social media. It's like the old joke. "Doctor, it hurts when I do this," the man rotated his arm in a circle. "So don't do this," the doctor replied, rotating his arm in a circle. Why subject your kids to ridicule on social media when many of them shouldn't even be on social media? I'm specifically referring to kids middle school age and younger. In a world where the average kid is getting a smartphone at 10 years old and devices with all the same features at even younger ages, we need to ask ourselves, are we helping or hindering our kids by handing them these devices?